Hey, Enchilada Nation. So happy to have you with us here today. I'm really excited, as you know, about 2023. Here we are a couple weeks into the year. We've all been working on our goals. The truth of the matter is we've probably all done some things really, really good towards our goals this year. And the truth is also we've probably all stumbled just a little bit in our goals this year. One of the areas that I always get really excited about every year is about my new health and nutrition goals. And that is exactly the topic of our conversation today. And I have a really great friend of mine on the show today, who is an expert in the, realistically, she's an expert on both sides of the fitness and nutrition. But today, the focus of our conversation is nutrition. Our guest is Tirsa Lesueur. She is the owner of The Macro Way. Tirsa and I and her husband, Chris, we met, man, do you remember what year it was that we connected? What year did you start going to CrossFit Preferred?
It was 2014.
2014. Okay, so 2014, so almost a decade ago, we connected and we were in the same workout community for several years. And I love the community aspect of fitness. And I still, even though like I love my MMA gym now and the people I work out with, when I was really focused on the CrossFit world, one of the best workout experiences I had was that community at CrossFit Preferred, which was so cool. So Tirsa, before we jump into the conversation around nutrition, why don't you give us a little bit of an intro to you, not only just your business, but what else is going on in your world that you're excited about right now?
Okay. So thank you, first of all, for letting me join you today. This is really exciting. I used to really be afraid of the camera, and I've gotten better and better, and now I have no problems talking about it. So kind of a personal background first. My husband and I have been married for 20 years. We have 5 kids from the ages of 16 to 9. And so that is my full time. That is my job. I love being a mom. I love being able to be here for my kids. But obviously, as time goes on, there are other interests. And we kind of stumbled upon owning CrossFit Preferred in a roundabout way. And that's how we met you. In fact, we weren't owners when we met you. We became owners. And I think people need to know the story of you and CrossFit Preferred.
Oh, no.
One that pops out to my head. We had a little incident with Marcus. I think our first year of knowing you, where he thought it'd be really cool to jump in a fountain with a weight vest on. And as he jumped out, didn't take into consideration the extra weight on him and caught his toe and really split his head open pretty good.
Well, luckily, Chris was willing to stop his workout to take me to the hospital.
That was that's something that will stand out in my mind forever.
Right. But, trust me, I'm reminded of it every time I look in the mirror.
Oh my gosh. Every time we run by that fountain, I think about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was such a bad day. But anyway, so we own CrossFit Preferred. It's been about 8 years that we've owned that. And it kind of worked out really well. I went to school at ASU for nutrition, never really knew what I was going to do with it. Was actually pregnant with my first child in my last year of school. So I didn't work in that field for probably 8 to 10 years after graduating, but knew it was always a passion of mine. I applied a lot of stuff to myself, but unknowingly really kind of did some mental damage and physical damage because every time I would have a baby, I would want that weight to come off. And so I would crash diet and get that weight off. And it created this very unhealthy view on food and image and all of those things. And so we'll kind of get into it more maybe, but basically it encouraged me to seek outside help, which I hired a coach to help me. Even though I knew quite a bit about nutrition, I wanted to know more and how it applied specifically to me, especially because I had just started CrossFitting. And I was not able to eat a low calorie diet and CrossFit. So I didn't know how to put the two together and get the results I was looking for, but also have the energy to work out. I also needed to change my mindset on what a healthy weight was. Because when I started CrossFitting, I gained 7 pounds, like pretty quickly. And if anybody has ever started a new workout regime that's really intense, like CrossFit, you know that muscle increases very quickly. And that's what had happened. But I didn't know that. All I knew is my scale was 7 pounds heavier. And I was still in that mindset of crash dieting and weighing an unrealistic amount for me. I'm 5'10". So you know, I weigh more than maybe most girls do. And then I have quite a bit of muscle mass. And so that was really hard to switch that and to be okay weighing more. And so that's kind of what led me into helping other people. Like I need, once I figured out that it was okay and I helped, I fixed myself, I was able to help others do the same thing. And I have a huge passion to do that. And it's not just women, but men and athletes and somebody that knows nothing about nutrition. And because of what I do with the fitness world and in my gym, I know that everybody that comes to me from a fitness side is at a different place in their fitness. And I can't treat them all normal. I can't treat them all the same. They are different. It is my job to meet them where they're at. And I do the exact same thing with my nutrition. So it is not a one size fits all, unfortunately, or we would all look amazing.
Right. But yeah. I think you point out a couple of really important things right there. And I love your vulnerability of saying, you know, that you had to figure it out, even going to school for nutrition several years ago and some life changes, things like that. Because I oftentimes think people look at people in the nutrition field or the fitness field, and they automatically start thinking, oh, well, it's easy for them. They've always been fit. They start making these justifications of, oh, it's easy for them. They've never had this struggle. They don't understand what that's like. So I love that you shared some of that vulnerability of like that. Hey, I went through the journey and had to figure it out, even though you had some element of a background in the schooling with it. So thanks for sharing that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to ask you is we've all heard, you know, the saying that getting the results in health and fitness tends to be about 80% nutrition and 20% fitness. However, when most of us are setting up a goal of how to accomplish our health goals, we put 80% of our time and energy into fitness and maybe at best 20% effort into our nutrition. But we all know it's opposite on how those come together. So I wanted to get your take on how fitness, moving your body, interacts with nutrition to really push your health forward.
Well, let's think about, first of all, that statement of 80% nutrition, 20% fitness, but yet we flip-flop it. We do the fitness side first. Why is that? Why do you think people do that? It's because it's easier. You have to make one decision a day to work out. One. How many decisions do you make on what to eat in a day? A lot.
A lot.
And we're surrounded by it. It's everywhere. It is the harder choice. And so people think, well, I'm not quite there with my nutrition, so I'm just going to start moving my body, which is great. I'm not saying don't do that. It's just the easier of the two. Because it is, you don't even have to have a gym membership. You can literally just go outside. You can do body weight movements in your house. You don't even have to leave your house in order to move your body, right?
Yep.
And that's why people generally start with that. But if they really knew that by putting that same amount of energy into the nutrition side and said, okay, I'm just going to start with eating breakfast every day, and I'm going to make sure there's some protein in there. And then when that becomes a habit, then I'm going to focus on drinking water in a day. And then when that becomes a habit, I'm going to layer and layer and layer. And before you know it, you've made all these changes and it didn't feel that hard. That's how we know that you're going to be successful, because it's not about making a decision on January 1st. It's about every decision after that. It's the consistency that pays off. That's what gets results. It's not that initial New Year goal that everybody makes. So although I do feel very strongly that nutrition and fitness goes hand in hand, a lot of times we just need to start feeling a little bit better and then we'll want to move our body. So I actually don't care if my clients work out. I don't require it. I don't care that they have a gym membership or not. Obviously, the more muscle mass they have, the more food they can eat and the more fat they're going to burn when we move into like a calorie deficit. But I don't care if they work out. I just want them to get into some healthier eating habits.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And now, as you were saying that, I'm like, man, that's so true. When I get off my diet and I'm not eating good, my motivation to work out, like it's in me that I know I'm going to work out every day, but my choice of what I'm going to do for workout is different when I feel sluggish and slow I'm just going to go like move around a little bit of weight and make myself feel good that I got some exercise. If I've been eating right and I feel energy, then I can like, okay, I can push it. I can push my goals here and get a sweat on. And it's interesting how what you eat and your nutrition is going to spark that motivation from a fitness standpoint as well. Great points. So walk us through, you know, within the last several weeks, the majority of adults in the world started thinking through their goals for 2023. And out of all the categories people can make goals, which a lot of my listeners know, we focus on 7 different categories in how we build our goals. And one of those is health and fitness. Is that tends to be the one people focus on the most when they're making the goals, because that's what people want to see an immediate change on in their world. So coach us and walk us through a little bit your philosophy and how you help people approach the goal setting piece. And then we'll move into some more of the philosophy of like, what is the actual nutrition piece?
Okay, yeah. So something that we work on when I have a new client come on is we look at what does success look like to you 6 months from now? And then once they identify that, then I help them break it down. So what does success look like to you in 30 days? And how does that facilitate that 6 month goal of yours? Now, when you're setting a goal, it's real easy to be like, well, I want to be in better shape. Okay, well, how do you measure that? So it needs to be realistic, it needs to be attainable, and it needs to be measurable. Those are the 3 things that you need to think about when you're setting a goal. Because if you, let's say, want to lose 100 pounds, losing 100 pounds in 6 months is not realistic or attainable. It is measurable, but it's not the other two. Mm-hmm. So having a coach helps you to realize what is realistic and attainable for you. So that it's really, really important that you feel those wins. That's why we set monthly goals too. And actually with my clients, they set weekly mini goals too, when they do their check-ins with me. So every week they've got something that they're focusing on, and it's just one thing, just something super simple. It can be as easy as I want to go to bed by 10 p.m. Like it can be very simple because it is a holistic approach. It's not just about the food we eat. It's because if you're stressed or if you're tired, your food choices are going to go out the window. So you have to look at it as a whole. But it does need to be something that you can measure so that you can see over time that you've been able to have success.
Yeah, I think that's so critical. I think a lot of people feel like they set a goal because they said, I want to get healthy, or I want to look at that. Or a lot of people go to the vision board, right? Where they pull up a picture of, oh, I wish I looked like that, so I'm going to put that up on my wall. And really there's no measurement there. Like a lot of times when I'm coaching people with goals across any of the platforms, I always have them write the goal in the format from X to why by when. So where are we now? Do we have a realistic vision of where we are right now? Let's do our measurements so we know our starting point. 2, what would the ultimate measurement look like? And I love that you're breaking that down into these chunks, right? Okay, if you want to be there in 6 months, what does that mean in 30 days? What does that mean tomorrow? What does that mean next week, right? They're all measurable from X to Y by 6 months, from X to Y by 30 days. And that way, if we write all of our goals in that statement, we always have a starting point, we have a goal point, and we have a time frame to get it done. So I think that's such a beautiful part of that measurable and accountability piece of any goal across any platform. So anything else you wanted to add is when you're kind of laying that platform from setting the stage for a new client?
So, and we may kind of get into this, but I feel like the majority of people that come to me, they have a very unrealistic expectation of themselves. So they have that all or nothing mentality. Mm. And that is something that I would say the majority of us have. I mean, that's why we start things and don't end them, or don't finish, because we have that all or nothing mentality. And I was the worst at this, especially when it came to my nutrition. It was either like when Chris and I would go on dates on Friday night, I didn't even look at the menu. I just ordered the worst thing on the menu because it was the only time I was going to get that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go back to my chicken and rice and veggies and throughout the week, and literally starve myself throughout the week so that I could, you know, get that weight off or stay, like if you looked at me 10 years ago, you would never know that mentally I struggled with thinking of food 95% of the time and what I looked like a lot. Mm. I knew it wasn't healthy. And I remember very specifically, I just started CrossFitting. I said to Chris, I think of my weight and what I look like and the foods I'm eating 95% of the time. And I know that's not healthy. I have to do something about that. And so I did. And I'm very, very grateful to be in a place now where it's funny because doing what I do, you'd think that I do think of that all the time, but there's no emotion connected to it anymore. Where there was a lot of emotion connected. So that's probably the second thing. I see the all or nothing mentality and I see the emotional connection to food. Yeah. And those are two things that I work really hard with my clients to separate so that they can have a cookie and not feel guilty and not self-sabotage or not change their calories the next day because they went over the day before. Get away from that because you're creating this like this guilt behind food and it doesn't need to be there.
Yeah. The phrase I thought of as you were talking about that we hear people say all the time is, man, I spiraled out of control, right? You think about this plane that's spiraling. It's not that the plane crashed, it spiraled and picked up momentum and started spinning faster and faster. And we tend to think of that with, well, I had a little cookie here. And then I was like, well, I already had that, so I'll have this. And then all of a sudden I'm driving through Culver's and getting a shake or whatever, right? And then we kind of spiral out of control. And the thing that if we flip that on the other side, I think success shows up the same way, just in an upward trajectory, right? It's not all of a sudden huge wins. It's, oh, there's a little win. And that leads to another little win. Just like on the negative side, a bad choice leads to another bad choice. The positive choice leads to another. And now we're spiraling up instead of we're spiraling down, right? It's the same concept.
Yeah, I want to share a little something that happened to me the other day. I actually just posted it on my stories last night. I have a new client. She just started with me this week. And the day she met with me, she told me she was going to this place called Organ Stop Pizza here. It's very unique. Yeah. Big organ pies. It's a huge deal. And her family was in town. And so they were going to pizza tonight. And she was like, well, I'll probably just start tomorrow. And I'm like, why? You can have pizza. Like they think they can't have pizza. They can't have treats. They can't have these. I'm like, just log your pizza, log two slices of pizza and your salad, and then stop by Fry's and pick up this specific salad dressing. It's much lower in macros. It's way lower in fat. And then enjoy your night. And so she did. And the next day, the message I got, it was such a victory for her, like such a huge
on day victory. One.
And she was like, I only ate one slice of pizza. And I said, and if you would have had three slices of pizza, would you have had more fun with your family? No, it doesn't matter. It's that emotional connection that we think we have, that we need. It didn't matter what food you were eating. It mattered the environment you were in. Mm. And so to me, like that all or nothing mentality comes from only allowing yourself things when you did something good or it's the weekend. You like worked really hard this week. So now you can have what you want. If you let yourself have those things all the time, they stop having emotional pull on you. Like I have a treat every single night and Chris knows that. And I just plan it. And like, it's no longer, and if I don't want it, I don't have it. It's not a big deal anymore, right? It used to be a huge deal.
Yeah, awesome. I love this mentality. And I think this is going to be music to a lot of people's ears because I think we've all think we have to crash diet. We have to do these. We have to, I guess I better have a whole sleeve of Oreos because I'm not going to have these again for 6 months, right? So I love that. And that's such a great story of your client. That's a great, great platform to start on. So walk us through now, you know, there's a billion different approaches to dieting now and nutrition. I mean, all you got to do is click nutrition or diet into Google and you'll be bombarded with 1,000 different ways and things being sold to you. From your approach, like what is the overall philosophy to nutrition for you?
So there's a couple of things. First of all, I'm all about eating regular food. You should be eating dinner with your family. If you're making a separate meal for yourself, there's something wrong. A, you're setting a bad example for your kids because they think that if they want to be fit, they have to eat differently than their kids. And that's actually what started me on my path because I have three daughters. They were getting old enough that they were noticing what I was eating. And I had one night where I was making dinner and one of them asked me, "What are you having for dinner, mommy?" And it like hit me hard. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I cannot put this image out for them. So I believe that you should be eating regular food. So we eat dinner as a family. Yes, I cook a little healthier. And there might be some tweaks that I make as far as like if we're having spaghetti, I will I will measure out a smaller amount of pasta for me and then load my bowl with roasted vegetables and then add the sauce and all of that. So they don't know that. They don't know that I'm not having garlic bread with my pasta. They see me eating food with my family. So yeah. I still have a purpose. I still have a goal. I'm still focused on that, but I'm eating regular food. And so I'm actually really good at making food taste delicious that look like you would not think that it is like on the healthier side. And yeah. on my Instagram, I post a lot of stuff like that. It's amazing. Like, I don't want to go to lunch with my girlfriends. I want them to come to my house so I can make them what I eat for lunch, because it's really good.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing I do teach, is how to eat regular food. But one of the biggest things that I've more recently kind of moved into is the majority of people are so busy with their day-to-day life that they stop taking care of their health, which happens kind of slowly. And before they know it, they're in a place where like, they're not really hungry in the morning, or they're having a cup of coffee, but then they don't really eat again until dinner. And then they're so hungry at dinner that they don't care what they get. They just eat as much as possible. And they kind of either self-sabotage or they justify because they hadn't eaten all day. Mm-hmm. So that lack of planning is causing their metabolism to slow down because they're not really eating that much food. And so one of the things I focus on with my clients, the first thing we focus on is not weight loss, it's metabolism rebuilding. So we focus on fueling the metabolism, getting it to a point where it's burning efficiently and optimally, so that then when we want to do a calorie deficit, their body responds. And I'll use myself as a quick example. Not too long ago, maybe like 6 months ago, I wanted to drop body fat. And so I dropped my calories to 1800 and I saw a little bit of weight loss initially, and then nothing. It just stayed. It didn't matter what I did. My weight did not move. And I was like, man, I'm only eating 1800 calories. Well, then I started feeding my body. I learned this method and I'm like, I'm gonna try this on myself. So I started increasing my calories every week, checking my weight every day. And all of a sudden I was eating 2,800 calories and my weight stayed exactly the same. Wow. 2,800. In fact, my weight actually dropped a few pounds because I started fueling it. So I got all the way up to 2,800 calories. My weight stayed the same. I felt like really good in my workouts. And it was like the answer that I needed. It was like, you know, as a nutrition coach or anybody, there's always new information. There's always new things to be learning. And so for me, like, I'm always looking, okay, what's next? What can I do? Yeah. And this I feel like has been huge. So obviously as soon as I started seeing the results on my end, I'm like, every one of my clients is doing this. We're doing this and they're all doing it. And now they're seeing amazing results. And I myself have seen really good results. In fact, I started my cut right after Christmas. I'm in my second week. And so it's only been like 10 days and I'm eating 1800 calories right now and I'm down 6 pounds. So that tells you kind of like how metabolism really plays a huge role in the progress that we're to fuel that first before you can move into like a calorie deficit. So that's actually the program that I teach, is fuel, then spend a very specific time cutting. We just do 4 weeks and then we move back into the fueling phase and then we do another cutting phase. But the cutting phase, you don't stay in for very long. The majority of the time you're with me, you're in the fueling phase.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What are your, just out of curiosity, I know one of the big things that's been on a lot of topic of conversation over the last couple of years is intermittent fasting, which is something that I've done a lot of, just because my mornings are so busy and stuff anyway, that I usually do, stop eating the night before and make sure that I'm eating enough protein, particularly then. And then I don't eat again until about 1 o'clock the following day. And then I get specific through the rest of the day. But what are your thoughts on intermittent fasting in relation to, does that work against your metabolism?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And there's so many diets out there that there isn't a right or wrong. So everybody's very different. So I have no feelings one way or the other. If somebody wants to an intermittent fast, that is fine with me. I don't think it affects your metabolism in a negative way, because you're still going to eat the same amount of calories in the day. So personally, I actually like to intermittent fast as well, because I want my meals bigger. I like eating bigger meals. And I am really, I work in the morning, same thing. I leave the house around 5:30 or so. And I'm home generally around 11 to 1. So that's, it's just easier for me to not have to pack food with me. Mm-hmm. But I have done both. I've done it all. I've worked out fasted. I've worked out fueled. I've worked out, or I've intermittent fasted. I haven't. I've done so many things. And it, from a like body composition perspective, I don't think it does anything one way mm-hmm. or the other.
Yeah.
It's more just personal preference and what you like. Like I do like to eat those bigger meals. And so find being hungry a little bit in the morning so that I can have bigger meals later.
Yeah. That's kind of my mentality around it too. And I mean, ultimately if you had to define nutrition in the easiest terms, it's for you to drop weight, your calories out have to surpass your calories in, right? But then you can start refining that down of like all calories aren't created equally and how your body processes and what that looks like. And then also I love your point around you have to train your metabolism, because I think a lot of times what people choose to do to move their nutrition forward actually damages and the way their body metabolizes food, and it works against them.
Well, and I would love to kind of talk more about what you said about the quality of calories.
Please. Yeah. That's right where I wanted to go.
If you think about it, if I told you that you need to eat 2000 calories a day, but that was all the guidance I gave you is just 2000 calories a day, and you chose to eat 80% of those calories from carbs, not knowingly, maybe.
Yeah.
Carbs have two jobs. We use it as energy or we store it in a fat cell for later use. So if we're not using it all as energy, it will be stored in a fat cell. So you could potentially be storing more fat, even though you're eating at a deficit.
Yep.
That makes sense. And so that's what I like about macros. So macros, when I say macros, it refers to protein, carbs, and fats. That is what makes up our calories. So if you see on the side of a food label that it's 100 calories, those calories are coming from either protein, carbs, or fat, or a combination of those three things. So if you're tracking calories, you're already tracking macros. That's something that I hear is, oh, I don't think I can do that. That seems too hard. If you've ever tracked your calories, you've tracked macros, you just didn't know it.
Yeah.
And so now we get to decide what, another thing I love about macros is you actually get to eat more food because you're eating the right percentages of those three macronutrients that are essential for our body. Protein helps our muscles so that we don't break down muscle for those essential amino acids. It also helps us feel full longer because it takes more energy to digest protein. Carbohydrates are our body's first energy source. So that's why a lot of like endurance athletes are eating more carbohydrates because it's going to give us quicker energy. And then fats are our hormone carriers and help us with brain function and our joints and all of those things. So there is a reason for all three of them. And we do want all three of them. I don't like the elimination diets or the really extreme like keto and stuff like that. And I know a lot of people have us on that, but how long term is that? Is it sustainable for a long time? For most people, no. So that's why what I like about macros is I don't tell you what you can and can't have. You have what you want. It just depends on what's worth it. And real quickly, my clients figure out what's worth it and what's not, because tracking really opens your eyes to that.
It's interesting to me too. I mean, one is kudos to the people 10 years ago that were tracking their macros and calories, because it was so much harder to do back then. We're now with the apps. It's just literally scanning things and punching a couple of things in. It's so much easier to do now. But it's actually really surprising to me how just the idea of knowing that I'm going to track it, it changes my choices of what to eat, right? So it's just like, that's a handful of that is hard to put in my app to track it. So I'm just going to wait to eat this, right? Because that's easier to put in. But it's interesting how just the process of tracking that helps me make better choices in the food, because it's not the, I'll lick this spoon. Anyone that has kids at home knows how easy it is to lick the spoon, or, oh, they left this bite of pancake and now I'm grabbing this person's, right? It's all that,
and that
stuff
adds up. That's a couple hundred calories that adds up, you know?
Yep.
And tracking your food kind of forces you to plan, and planning for, like, think of anything you want to be good at. You have to have a plan to get there. Yeah. Like I use pull-ups as an example. We get a lot of females in our gym that are like, I just want to learn how to do one pull-up. That was actually my goal when I first started it. I want to do one pull-up. Okay. Well, if I don't give you a plan to do that, how likely are you to be able to get that done? It's the same thing with our nutrition. If you don't have a plan for your day, how successful is your day going to be? How likely are you to hit your macros? Not very likely, unless you're really consistent and good at it. You've been doing it a long time. Yeah. So planning, it forces us to plan. I always tell my clients to plan as much as you can the night before, preload it in MyFitnessPal. So you already know what to do. You don't have to wonder. And you can always manipulate a little bit, but that's, I think, a great point.
There's so much power in pre-choice, right? If almost 100%, almost 100% of the time, if I'm hungry and I walk in the door and I'm just like, I'm hungry, and there's a healthy option and there's a not healthy option, and I haven't made a pre-choice, I'm going to reach for the non-healthy option. But the idea of having a pre-choice of like, okay, I've kind of already planned out what I like to eat. I've already grocery shopped that way. I've done some food, a little bit of food prep to make it a little bit easier. Like now if I made a little bit of pre-choice, it's like, well, I've already made the effort to do this. So I guess that is the easier choice.
Well, and because if you had planned for the day, you would never get to that point where you're like, I'm really hungry. Cause you've been eating all day.
Great point. Great point.
You'll have to make that decision.
So going back to the macro thing, let me ask you this question. Are you, I love the mentality of that you're teaching people how to do this with normal foods and normal day life, that it's not to go live in a cave by yourself for 6 months and come out a new person. But it's, how are you shooting for a specific ratio of macros?
So everybody's bodies are completely different. This is where the customizing comes in play. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you a generalized breakdown. Ideally, we want to get everyone, male or female, up to about 1 gram of protein per pound ideal body weight. So if you have somebody that's over 100 pounds overweight, you're not going to set their protein to meet their body.
Yeah.
So that is ideal. However, what I do is I have my clients track 3 days of normal eating first. So I have an idea of where they're already hitting their protein at, and then we do baby steps to get up there. So if I have somebody that's at 75 grams of protein and they need to be at 150, if I threw 150 at them, they'd be mad at me, they'd be constipated, and they wouldn't hit their goal, which would make them feel worse. Yeah. So we do baby steps. So our goal is 1 gram per pound ideal body weight. For carbs and fats, that's a little bit more loaded question, because women tend to do a little bit better on higher fats, especially because it depends on the age of the woman is also, like, I'm in my 40s now, like having higher fats is going to help with your hormones and all of that. And men too. But some people like, it's a little bit more personal preference. Like, what do you also, what kind of exercise are you doing? Like if you're doing CrossFit or MMA or any of those things, you might want a little bit more carbs in your diet. Carbs help fuel your muscles. So if you're trying to build muscle, we're going to keep your carbs higher. We're going to make sure that those carbs are coming in post-workout and that they're simple carbs. They get into your bloodstream really quickly and go straight to the muscle for growth. So carbs have a very great purpose in our body. A lot of people are afraid of them. I never drop carbs lower than like 25% of your total calories, because it's really hard to be consistent at lower than that.
Yeah.
And then fat just kind of makes up the rest, makes up the difference.
Yeah. I really love and honor your approach to this, because I think so many coaches think it's just a one size fits everybody, right? I love that you keep pointing out, like, hey, yeah, there's some basic rules that are true for everybody, but it's got to be tailored to you, right? And that's why I think a lot of people fail, is because they read this book or hear their friend talking about what works for them, and they're seeing pictures of them and think, wow, that's amazing, I guess I got to do exactly that. When this is really the power of having a phenomenal coach in your corner. And earlier I mentioned those 7 different categories that I think we should be tracking goals and progressing in life. In each one of those areas, we should have a coach, someone that's committed to help us and understand us and walk us through the process. And I just love that you're walking through that of like, hey, there are some baselines, but we got to help each person individually with what they're trying to accomplish. I just like that approach a lot. One quick follow-up question is, you mentioned the 1 gram per ideal weight. One of the things I've always, I may be looking at that wrong, because I've always looked at that as, because I try to get 1 gram of protein for every 1 pound of lean body mass I have, right? So my daily goal right now, my goal has been 186 grams of protein a day, because that's what my lean body mass is. And it's a challenge for me to get 186 grams of protein in a day as it is. So to kind of walk me through the difference between the ideal weight versus the lean body mass. And then how would you coach me to get more quality protein in? That's a challenge.
Yeah. So lean body mass is our bones and muscle minus and our water weight combined. So it's just taking out the fat that you have. So you don't have a lot of body fat. And so hitting your lean body mass in grams of protein is actually probably fine. But if I have somebody that has a lot of body fat, if I just got them to their lean body mass, it's still going to be pretty low.
Good point.
So, and then you also have to take into consideration how they handle that much protein. Like, how are they digesting that much protein? For me, for example, if I were to eat 1 gram per pound ideal body weight, I don't feel good. My kidneys hurt, my stomach hurts, I don't feel good. And so I actually have to drop my protein a little bit lower. And actually I went and got my blood work done and she said that my kidneys were showing fatigue. So that was what made me finally drop it. I was like, oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Like, I knew I didn't feel great, but I didn't know why. And so I dropped it and I feel so much better if I keep my protein down to like 135-ish, where ideally you would think I was as high as 185 at one point. But then I have another girl who works out at my gym and is very similar build to me, has a little bit more muscle mass than me, and she loves 185. She could never go as low as 135. So that's where the customization comes in. Now, the next thing you want to think about when talking about protein is the majority of your protein needs to come from real food. You should only be having one protein shake a day. That's it. Not double scooped, not protein bars, nothing. All your protein should be coming from actual food. And if you don't work out, then 100% of your protein should be coming from actual food, not a protein shake. So then that's when you have to start thinking, okay, what's realistic for me? I don't want to be shoving down eggs and cheese and animal products constantly throughout the day. So what is a realistic number that I can have enough protein where I don't feel like I'm constantly trying to shove the protein in? You do want to have protein every time you eat. That's another thing we focus on, is make sure that there is some protein every time you eat, but it needs feel sustainable. Anything that I give you should feel sustainable.
I love that. I because that's about building a lifestyle, not like let's crash ourselves for 6 months, feel good for 2 weeks, and then bounce back to where we were, right? I love that. So we could go down talk a bunch about that, but I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about, okay, we're on a plan, we've got a plan we're working on, we're tracking our macros, and what percentage of your clients hit their goals 100% of the time as they go? Are people stumbling and hitting roadblocks?
Yeah, that comes back to that all or nothing mentality. Yeah. It is normal. Like, think of your child. Would you expect, if you taught your child something, would you expect them to be perfect at it from the beginning?
Absolutely not.
You would expect them to learn and grow and make progress over time. And I think that all or nothing mentality is really, really strong in like older generations. Like when I talk to my mom and dad, like that all or nothing mentality is just built in strong.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a little bit easier with like the younger generations, but we focus a lot on the non-scale victories. So things that you are doing better than you were doing before. And so every week I have my clients tell me a bright spot, something they did better than they did before. And it could be as simple as, like one client, for example, I went to Christmas dinner and I was mindful in my choices and I didn't feel guilty when I left. That's huge. That is amazing. Like those are things that I want to focus on. And when you start focusing on those non-scale victories, you start giving yourself a little bit of a break. you stop getting so hung up on being perfect in your numbers and perfect on your weight. Because then what happens when you're perfect on hitting your macros, but your weight doesn't go down, right? You just set yourself up for failure mentally, you know? So you have to be willing to understand that there's a process and that it's not about perfection, it's about progress. So we talk a lot about that.
Oh my, I don't know if you read that somewhere, you coined that, but that's such a brilliant phrase, the non-scaled victories. Because I think that so many people tie success to what does the scale say? And it's for me, the funny thing is the scale can say something significantly different for me the minute I wake up to the minute I go to bed. And I, you know, it is important to track over time, right?
Yeah.
But it's not the 100% determiner. And it goes back to that spiraling up or spiraling down of, even if the scale doesn't necessarily say exactly what you anticipated to do, there were victories that helped you get there that need to be celebrated. And now I'm thinking through like all my scoreboards, like the ultimate scoreboard of all my other areas of life, of like, what are the equivalents to a non-scale victory that are happening in those areas that aren't directly related to the final scoreboard piece, but should be celebrated along the way. Very, very cool. Yeah. I love that. So how do you, when someone feels like they've gone off and they start that spiral, like what are the couple of things you comment to them of like, how do you get them back on the wagon, back on a course?
Well, luckily, because I have quite a bit of communication with my clients, I'm like the parent that's the cheerleader for the little kid, you know, like I can easily see what they're doing that has been successful.
Yeah.
And so I can easily point those things out. But another thing that I learned recently that has really helped me and some of my clients is sometimes we'll like have a plan for the day, for example, but then somebody brings donuts into work and you eat a donut and you're like, okay, well, this day's screwed. I'm just going to eat whatever.
Yeah.
So I want you to visualize your day and break it into four quadrants. So when we do that, who says that we have to reset our day when we go to bed? Like, why is that a thing? We can reset at any point. So if you break your day into quadrants, you can say, okay, well, the morning didn't go as planned, but I already have a good plan for the rest of the day. I'm going to stick to my plan the rest of the day. So that really, really helps break through that all or nothing mentality, realizing that one day doesn't have to ruin the whole weekend. It doesn't have to ruin the whole month. And one bad decision in the morning or one off-planned decision, I don't like to say good or bad, but one off-planned decision in the morning doesn't have to ruin the entire day. You can still feel successful that day. In fact, yeah. that's a win too. Like if you can get back on track that day, that'll build your confidence.
Oh man, I love that idea of breaking it into quadrants. And a lot of us already operate that way anyway. We just don't really think about it, right? We have our morning routine. We do our actual morning routine. We have the morning section of our work day. We have the afternoon section of our work day that's split between lunch and, you know, that, and then we have our night routine. It's already, our days are already kind of split into quarters. I like that idea of, hey, I can reset now. It's such a cool thing to think about. All right. Well, I've really enjoyed this conversation. And the way you approach your coaching piece, but I just honor you and Chris, you guys have been great friends. I love the way you're living life and you're perfectly in alignment with the whole enchilada and what we're trying to accomplish as a community. So Tirsa, if our listeners don't already have a coach, which most of them do not in the health space, and mm-hmm. I'm now officially encouraging you, Enchilada Nation, to lean into some coaching in the nutrition space. You deserve it. And I want you to hit those goals this year. Tirsa, if they would like to connect with you about having you help them with their nutrition goals this year, how do they find you and follow you and connect with you?
Yeah, the best way is to follow me on Instagram, The Macro Way, WAY. I have a link in my bio for a free consult. I'm happy to jump on a phone call and kind of go over what your goals are, how I can support you in those. And I post a lot of really helpful information there too, so you can learn things along the way. It's not just about our food. My goal is to support the whole learning process of nutrition as well. Plus, I love food, so I post a lot of food on there too. So Matt Gerwig on Instagram.
That's awesome. Thanks again for being here. I look forward to connecting soon with you and Chris next time I'm in Arizona. And I guess I'll make the quick caveat too, that you do a lot of your coaching virtually too, because we have followers all over the country. It's not necessarily just an in-person coaching consultation with Tirsa. Right. All right. Well, just to wrap up our conversation here, I've got a page of notes here that I've taken on what we've talked about today. So thank you for that. Enchilada Nation, it's go time. It's 2023. I'm really excited about this year. Again, going back to how we started the conversation, is I'm sure there's a lot of things you're doing well and are excited about this year. And if you're like me, there's a couple of things that I committed to do to make myself a better person this year that I've already stumbled a little bit. And what that means to me is not that I failed at that, is there's something about the structure of my day and the flow of my day that is causing me to fail with that commitment. So it's just constant refinement and readjustment until I kind of hit my stride for 2023. And I encourage you to keep doing that. Don't get discouraged, but relook at like, why did I miss my meditation practice this morning? Why did I not follow my nutrition plan or whatever it is ask the question behind it of what happened in the rest of my day that led to that result. Keep adjusting and refining. That is the process of becoming a whole you, a whole version and best version of you, is that constant refinement. And don't forget, Enchilada Nation, to reach out to Tirsa and get yourself a coach here. And don't forget, go live life on your terms.